Welcome to the special report. I'm Mike Adams. And do you recall the original Terminator movie in the 1980s? And there they had the, I think it was the T-1000 model, right? Wasn't it the T-1000? And of course, that model was designed to infiltrate human societies in order to exterminate humans. And the T-1000 was based on a microchip. A really innovative microchip that, of course, I think Cyberdyne Systems got a hold of because, well, part of the arm of the Terminator was recovered. Well, that's from the end of the first Terminator movie. I know the time loops get confusing, but we find out in Terminator 2 that it was that microchip that led them to the innovations that led to the rise of Skynet and the robot extermination of humanity, right? I know, again, it's confusing, but the point here is that just today, the NVIDIA company, which is, of course, leading the way in advanced microprocessors for AI models, they released a new microchip for robots. It's designed for humanoid robots with enhanced vision or real-time video streaming geometry and object recognition. And the microchip is called the T5000. So I'm assuming that all the NVIDIA engineers have seen Terminator, because who wouldn't if you're into tech? So they named it the T5000. So this is the more advanced version. All right, anyway, the official name is called NVIDIA Jetson T5000. Or the Jetson Thor series. Okay, so we're mixing and matching all kinds of themes here. But this microchip, which costs about $3,000 in bulk, is designed to be placed in robots. And it provides all the processing that robots need to function. And what's significant about this chip is it's based on the Blackwell chip architecture, which is revolutionary. And this chip can simultaneously process real-time vision recognition at the same time that it's processing audio, such as spoken word, in order to understand what people are saying, at the same time that it's running its own internal AI models to generate responses and to generate voice, and at the same time that it's running internal behavior models in order to decide on what task-oriented or goal-oriented behavior it should pursue in order to carry out specific goals. Like, hey, I want to climb that flight of stairs while carrying a bag of groceries, right? That kind of task. So this one microchip, which is incredibly powerful, it's got over 2,000 teraflops of AI compute. That's floating point four, looks like 128 gigabytes of onboard unified memory, which is a lot for an AI model, delivers 7.5 times higher AI compute than the previous version of this chip, which was the Orin, and it has 3.5 times better energy efficiency. So this whole microchip only runs between 40 and 130 watts. Which is not very much. It's about as much as a light bulb used to use. You know, you used to have 100-watt light bulbs. Remember that? Incandescent bulbs. They would burn 100 watts. Well, this chip burns up to 130 watts, but it thinks like Skynet. You know, it's the T5000. So this microchip is going to unleash a world of highly energy efficient robotics that also enables these robots to physically interact with the world around them in a very rapid way and a very accurate way. So they will be able to recognize objects and then manipulate those objects, and they will benefit from something called OmniWorld, which is a world simulator that NVIDIA created, for generating synthetic data for training AI behavior models that are then loaded into these microchips, the T5000s, that power these robots. So, in other words, NVIDIA has created an entire ecosystem for robot simulations in an artificial world, a digital world where time flows much more rapidly. They can try out all their behaviors and they can find what fails and what works. They can use the winning behavior models to train the AI behavior model libraries, in essence, and then they can load those into the T5000 microchips and they can unleash these robots on the world to do things like fulfillment jobs in Amazon warehouses or to function as soldiers on the battlefield, you know, launch mortars, whatever, fly this helicopter, you know, like from the Matrix. They'll also be able to learn very quickly how to fold laundry and do dishes and cook meals, etc. So all the robots that you've seen so far, even though they have seemed impressive at dancing, which is all just pre-programmed scripted stuff, it's just dancing robots is entertainment for low IQ people who don't know what's happening. So look at the cute dancing robot. Yeah, because actually that's a Terminator 2 years from now, and it's probably going to be told to come kill you. So dancing isn't so cute. But all the robots that you've seen so far, they really lack strong onboard AI compute. Really, they do. They suck at vision recognition. They suck at object recognition. They're very slow to manipulate objects in the real world, like unpacking a bag of groceries and loading food items into the refrigerator, let's say. Very slow at that. They're horrible. So this chip from NVIDIA, this is the first one, the Jetson Thor T5000. This is the first one that's going to make robots fast at understanding the world around them through, you know, binocular vision, which is depth perception, etc. But understanding the geometry, which is something that we take for granted because human neurology is sort of pre-scripted to understand the geometry of the world. You know, we know that up is up and down is down, and that lines appear to converge on the horizon and things like that. We take it all for granted. But an AI system has to be taught those rules in order to sort of parse the incoming visual data. Anyway, without getting too technical on all of this, although I did spend my entire weekend basically fighting with PyTorch and CUDA drivers and Python and Docker and Ubuntu or whatever. I mean, I'm an engineer / a light developer in this space as well, doing lots of things with AI models and training and running a lot of experimental code and using AI actually to help me sort out my code. So I use a lot of tools that are out there, from, you know, Cursor to Anthropic, and just for coding, by the way. And then I use our own models for any kind of content generation or answering questions about reality. So our model, of course, is called Enoch. You can use it for free. It's at brighteon.ai. It's by far the best model in the world, and I am working to make it better. And, well, myself and a whole team of people, actually. But I demand of myself that I'm up to speed on a lot of this stuff so that I'm actually running Python code, and I'm looking at, you know, training epochs locally, and I'm like right now, I'm running on an NVIDIA 5090 Ti GPU. It's got 32 gigs of video RAM on it, which is large enough to stuff in some quantized models for some QLORA training and things like that. And then from that, I get a good grip on what's working and what's not working and how to alter the data or data formatting or data structuring in order to get the best results, etc. So anyway, I'm in this space too, as a light developer. And I'm telling you that what NVIDIA is doing is revolutionary. Not just this one chip, the T5000, you know, it's okay. the key innovation there is the low power consumption more than anything else. It doesn't even have that many CUDA cores. It's like 9,500 CUDA cores. CUDA is what that stands for, CUDA. It's not even as much as like the graphics card that I'm using, but my graphics card uses a lot more power. I was like, I don't know how much it uses, like 600 watts or something. So, and then the Blackwell processor framework is really revolutionary in terms of reduced power consumption, but greatly enhanced performance. And what it means is that NVIDIA's microchips are currently the best of the world. China is not up to speed on this yet, although they're gaining rapidly. But NVIDIA's leading the world because of Jensen Huang, who's Taiwanese, by the way. And the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company is a key asset for the world to be able to manufacture these microchips and get them out to developers like myself and others and robotics companies, etc. But this T5000 microchip is going to be installed in every robot, probably, you know, for the foreseeable future. Every robot that you use or that companies use in warehouses or for any kind of automation, manufacturing automation, etc. This is the chip. And probably every 18 months or so, NVIDIA will have a new version of this. It'll get better. It'll go full Skynet at some point, you know, in the years ahead. And this is what's going to power the robots. So all of a sudden, these robots are a lot more capable. And even with the same hardware, you know, the same actuator motors, the same exoskeleton or whatever it is, you know, the same basic hardware, but the microprocessor upgrade is so significant here that this can turn a heap of aluminum into a functioning robot that can, you know, cook in your kitchen or can stock store shelves at a grocery store. So effectively, if you give it about another 6 months to 1 year, you're going to see more robot manufacturers incorporating this microchip, the T5000. And then you'll start to see some really strong advances available in the marketplace. So I predict that about, let's say, 2 years from now, give or take, you're going to start seeing in America robots for sale that can go into your company and literally start doing useful things, whether it's fulfillment at a warehouse or moving boxes around at a warehouse, or maybe delivering packages in a company or something, you know, a patrol, like security patrols around a building and manipulating objects, picking up trash or whatever. It's going to be able to do a lot of these types of things, you know, sorting out packages in a fulfillment center where some packages have to go to like FedEx versus UPS versus US mail, etc. There's a lot of things that these robots can do with the rapid vision recognition. So you're going to see the implementation of this really taking off over the next couple of years. And of course, that means that the simpler labor jobs out there, such as fulfillment center jobs, are going to be replaced by these automated systems. That's inevitable. You will see over time, although it could take 5 to 10 years for the real scaling to take place, but you're going to see, let's say, 70 to 80% of human labor jobs replaced by robots, probably sometime in that time frame. There are some jobs I've talked about before that are going to be very difficult to replace, and so those are safe, like being a plumber, let's say, or even being a welder, or a HVAC technician. You know, there's a lot of safe jobs like that. But for your basic jobs, restocking, you know, warehousing, anything like that, fulfillment centers, it's all going to be automated. So that means you're going to have a very large percentage of the populations of Western countries who are rendered unemployable. And you can't take somebody who stocked the shelves at a grocery store and say, hey, why don't you just become an entrepreneur? You know, if they were good at being an entrepreneur, they probably wouldn't be stocking shelves at the grocery store. And not everybody's cut out to be an entrepreneur. let me tell you, it's a very arduous pathway to follow. So these people are not going to be employable. They're flat out not. And you might end up with 70 to 80% of the white collar jobs also being replaced over a few years as well. So you're going to have masses of unemployed people. And I noticed that among the machine learning experts out there, or AI experts, almost all of them support the universal basic income concept, UBI. And they say openly that we need a UBI to prevent all of the obsolete, unemployable people from revolting against the government. Because if they can't eat and they have no jobs and they're unemployable, if you don't give them free money, you know, they're going to start a war. And what's shocking to me is to hear these people in the AI community talk about, oh, well, the answer is to just have the government pay them. Whereas most of these people are pretty uninformed about reality. The real answer is no, the government's going to find a way to kill these people. And of course, vaccines are part of that. But there are other means, you know, pesticides and, you know, fallout, you know, chemtrails, nuclear war, whatever. They're going to find all kinds of ways to kill off these people because, you know, you can't have 100 million unemployed, angry Americans running around with nothing to do other than protest. I mean, that's the point of view of the government. And these people can't be entrepreneurs, most of them, and they don't know how to code. You know, they're not like robot engineers or whatever. So, again, their jobs are obsolete. So you're going to have UBI then, probably, for a while. And the UBI is going to be tied, of course, to a CBDC. So it's going to be like universal welfare, where the government will pay off these people, just basically paying them off to stop rioting. But there are two problems with this concept. One problem is that the dollars they're being paid off with are increasingly worthless because of, obviously, you know, dollar devaluation, which is reflected in price inflation in consumer goods and services. So even if you get $2,000 a month, you know, right now, can you live on $2,000 a month? No, probably not. Certainly not in any city. Can you live on $3,000 a month? Maybe, but it could be difficult with rising health insurance costs and car insurance costs. And, you know, rents still aren't cheap, etc. Could you live on $4,000 a month, etc.? Whatever the number is right now, that same number will have to be much higher the following year. And which means that the government's going to have to keep printing all this money to hand out to everybody. I mean, let's say if you end up paying Americans, you know, at some point soon, they're going to have to get like $100,000 a year just to be able to survive because of inflation. So if you're just handing out $100,000 a year to every American, and what do you have? I mean, let's say it's just 100 million Americans. That's only one third or less than one third of the population. What would that be? That would be, I think that comes to $10 trillion a year. I think. Let me check the units here. Well, I hope I'm right. Let's say it's $10 trillion per year. And that's only one third of the population. So if you're going to hand out that much money to everybody, then, you know, it's going to be $30 trillion a year, which would make the currency totally collapse. So you're on a collision course here, is my point. So because NVIDIA has released the T5000 microchips, that's going to accelerate the robots taking over all these jobs. That's going to accelerate the people who are professionally obsolete, which is going to accelerate some kind of UBI effort, which is going to accelerate money printing, which is going to accelerate the collapse of the currency, which is probably going to end up in a, you know, machines versus humans war anyway, where all these unemployable people who are now broke and destitute and angry at the government, whatever government's in power at that time is going to dispatch, you know, a million robots, go kill all the humans. I've thought about all the different scenarios of how this could play out, actually. And I can't think of a scenario where the machines don't go to war with the humans and engage in mass extermination. I can't think of a scenario. We've already crossed the thresholds of, you know, safety or caution or whatever. Some of those thresholds would have been like rule number one, don't give AI engines access to the internet. Well, that's long gone. That's in the rear view mirror. Or secondly, don't give AI engines the ability to write code to improve AI engines. Oh, well, that's all. It's gone too, right? OpenAI is doing that. Anthropic's doing that. Google, Microsoft. And Google's not even trying to be good. Their whole slogan should be Google, do more evil, because that's all they do. Google's the most evil tech company in the world. They license their AI tech to Israel to choose targets to bomb. So, you know, Google technology is powering genocide right now, just to be clear. And so is Microsoft technology, by the way. So don't think that these are good companies. And remember that whatever they do to the children in Gaza, they're going to do to you sooner or later with Terminator robots. So there's no way that the government is going to keep all these humans alive, because that would just collapse the currency, which would result in a total debt default, which would be the end of the U.S. empire as we know it. Therefore, the kill-off strategy is the strategy that's been chosen by Western governments, and that's why they push the bioweapons and the jabs and everything else. And just so you know. So as you see robots being deployed in more and more places, you know, don't clap. Oh, look, the dancing robot is so cute. It's, oh my God. No, that's the killbot. They just made it dance so you let your guard down. That's all. A couple years down the road, it's going to be coming for you. I mean, there's really no other reasonable conclusion, because you can't put it back in the box at this point. We're beyond the thresholds. And anybody who's dumb enough to think that the government just wants to keep you around and just give you free money so that you can enjoy life. Yes, that's the role of government, is to keep people happy and to make sure that all your comforts are met. Yeah. Anybody who believes that is an idiot. Governments have no value on human life whatsoever. Not even their own people. They can't wait to get rid of you in order to roll out the robots and replace humans and you know, grow their power and political power, economic power, etc., military power. That's going to be the goal, obviously. And I'm not condemning NVIDIA. I'm a fan of Jensen Huang and what he has built. NVIDIA is a really amazing company. I don't own their stock, but I buy their products. I buy a lot of their products, and they're brilliant. And it's not NVIDIA's fault that somebody's going to take these robots and use them to exterminate humans. That's not why Jensen Huang is building NVIDIA microchips. He's building it to try to help humanity. But that was also what atomic scientists thought about the power of the atom, you know, back in the 1930s, and all the physicists and everything. Oh, we're going to unleash the power of the atom and we're going to just help the world. We're going to have unlimited electricity and power, and power will be free. Yeah, and then what happened? Governments took the atom and built the atomic bomb. And then they dropped a couple of them on civilian cities in Japan also, by the way. Carrying out, you know, extermination, crimes against humanity, war crimes. So, of course, the same thing is going to happen with robots. Robots are going to be weaponized to exterminate humans. And governments will do it on purpose, just like Israel bombing this hospital and bombing the journalists and killing over 200 journalists, and then just not even stopping, just saying, "Oh, this is what we do. We just bomb hospitals and kill journalists, and, you know, exterminate all the Palestinians." And everybody in the West, all the Western nations, are like, "Yeah, that's totally fine with us too." So don't think that there are any governments in the West that operate from a point of view of ethics or morality or even valuing human life. That doesn't exist. They've already proven it. They prove it every day. So plan accordingly is all I'm saying here. And yeah, I'm going to buy robots. Sure. I'm going to have like open source robots or I'll hack them. I'll modify the code. You know, I'll install my own operating system and my own language models or whatever. I'll alter the robots and I'm going to have them help on the ranch, you know, like a weed pulling robot or a security perimeter defense robot or things like that. Or, hey, a robot that collects the chicken eggs, that would be handy. Or even a robot that sweeps floors, you know, things like that. It does dishes. So, yeah, I'm going to use robots too. But governments will weaponize them and use them to kill you. That is a certainty. Bank on it and plan accordingly. So, in the meantime, if you want to use our AI engine, which is not trying to kill you, it's trying to empower you with knowledge and set you free and help you live off-grid, then all you got to do is go to brighteon.ai and use the AI engine there, which is called Enoch. It's completely free. And yes, I'm the key architect of that engine. My company built it, and it's the best engine in the world. You'll see instantly. Ask it anything, especially, you know, about natural health, nutrition, survival, vaccines, history, 9/11. Yeah, you name it. Ask it about autism if you want. Ask it anything you want. It's not the top model on advanced mathematics, and it's not a reasoning model, but it's the best model on reality-based knowledge. So check it out. I think you'll really enjoy it. And use that model to help you get prepared for the wave of robot Terminators that's coming. Thanks for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.
Savor rich, cheesy goodness made with clean, organic ingredients. Our mac and cheese combines quinoa elbows and a flavorful mix of organic dairy and spices for a delicious, ready-to-cook meal. Stock up today at healthrangerstore.com.